Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, Text 1. Shaunaka Uvacha Hatva Swarikta Sprita Atataino Yudhisthiro Dharma Britam Varishtaha Sahanujai Pratyavarudha Bojanaha Katam Pravrita Kim Akarashit Tataha Shaunaka Vacha Hatvasarikta Sprita Atataino Yudhisthiro Dharma Britam Varishtaha Sahanujai Pratyavaruda Bojana Katam Bravitam Kim Akadashi Tataha Shaunaka Vacha Hatvasarikta Sprita Atataino Yudhisthiro Dharma Britam Vadishtaha Sahanujai Pratyavaruda Bojana Katam Pravitta Kimakarashi Tataha Shaunaka Vacha Hatvasarikta Sprita Atataino Yudhisthiro Dharma Britam Vadishta Sahanujai Pratyaviruda Bojana Katam Pravritta Kimakarashi Tataha. Shaunaka Vacha Hatvasarikta Sprita Atataino Yudhisthiro Dharma Britam Varishtaha Shaunaka Vacha Atvasarikta Sprita Atataino Yudhisthiro Dharma Britam Varishta Sahanujai Pratyaviruda Bojana Katam Pravrita Kimakarashi Tata Shaunaka Vacha Sarana Sarikta Sprita Tatitaino Yudhishthira Dharma Pratam Varishtha Sahanajai Pratyaviruddha Bhojana Kitam Pravritam Kimakarshitata Shaunaka Vacha Atva Surikta Spirita Tataino Yudhishthira Dharma Pratam Varishtha Vajana Vaishnavis Shaunaka Vacha Advasarikta Spreda Atitaino Vistaro Dharma Vitam Varishta Shaunaka Vacha Atva Sarikta Spreda Atitaino Yudhishthira Dharma Vitam Varishta Sahanijai Pratyabharuda Bhojana Takimakarishi Tata Shaunaka Uvacha Shaunaka inquired Hatva after killing Swarikta the legal inheritance Spridaha desiring to usurp Atataina the aggressor Yudhishthira King Yudhishthira Dharma Britam of those who strictly follow religious principles. Varishtaha, greatest. Saha Anujai, with his younger brothers. Pratyavarudha, restricted. Bhojanaha, acceptance of necessities. Katam, how? Pravritaha, engaged. Kim, what? Akarashit, executed. Tataha, thereafter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Shaunaka asked, after killing his enemies who desired to usurp his rightful inheritance, how did the greatest of all religious men, Maharaj Yudhishthira, assisted by his brothers, rule his subjects? Surely he could not freely enjoy his kingdom with unrestricted consciousness. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthira was the greatest of all men of religion. Thus, he was not at all inclined to fight with his cousins for the sake of enjoying the kingdom. He fought for the right cause because the kingdom of Hastinapur was his rightful inheritance. And his cousins wanted to usurp it for themselves. He fought therefore for the right cause under the guidance of Lord Sri Krishna, but he could not enjoy the results of his victory because his cousins were all killed in the fight. He therefore ruled over the kingdom as a matter of duty, assisted by his younger brothers. The inquiry was important for Shaunaka Rishi, who wanted to know about the behavior of Maharaj Yudhisthira when he was at ease to enjoy the kingdom. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So in preparing for this class, I followed in the footsteps of Tattvavit Prabhu, who consulted the Veda base to see if Srila Prabhupada had given a class on the verse that he spoke on yesterday, the last verse in the ninth chapter. So I thought I would check and see if he'd given a class on the today's verse, and he did in Mayapur in 1973. And, you know, he made some interesting points. One of the things that Srila Prabhupada pointed out was that some people, they don't like very much the first part of the Srimad Bhagavatam because, you know, it's talking about warfare and battles and religious principles, and the nature of creation is going to be coming up and things like that. You know, they want to jump right to the Rasa Leela, you know, to the 10th canto. But he said, Bhaktiya Shruti Grihitaya, the process of devotional service, of bhakti yoga, has a firm foundation in the Shruti, or the primary Vedic literatures like the Vedanta Sutra. He pointed out that the Srimad Bhagavatam begins as a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. It repeats one of the first verses from the Vedanta Sutra in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Jadmad Yasya Yataha. So he pointed out it's important to understand all these preliminary things so that one can properly appreciate, you know, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna's exchanges with his loving devotees in different rasas are fully explained and put forward. So it's important to go through these preliminary steps in order to have a proper understanding of these things. So that's one point that he made. And another point that he made in his class was, you know, he was calling attention to the words pratyavarudha bhojana. He was pointing out that because Yudhisthira was feeling a little bit troubled because so many people had died in order for him to assume the rule of the kingdom, he was engaged in some austerities and penances. He was fasting and doing things like that. So that's why Srila Prabhupada said Shaunaka was inquiring, how was he able to enjoy the kingdom if he was in this condition of restricted sense gratification because of the austerities he was undergoing? And another point he made in his class was to point out that, yes, Yudhisthira was correct, even from the standpoint of ordinary religious principles, to fight for the kingdom against the aggressors, which are called Atatayinaha, the aggressors. And Srila Prabhupada pointed out that in the Vedic literature, it's mentioned that, you know, there are different kinds of aggressors, those who come to steal your property, kidnap your wife, set fire to your house, take your wealth. And it's legitimate for someone to respond to such aggressors by killing them, according to religious principles. So, in this verse, Yudhisthira is described as Dharma Britam Varishtaha, the best of those who strictly follow the principles of Dharma or religion. So, it's an intricate topic. What is Dharma? What are the true religious principles that one should follow? And even though Yudhisthira is being called, you know, Dharma Britam Varishta, the best of those who strictly follow the principles of Dharma, he even got into a little bit of difficulty on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Because in one sense, Dharma is described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tom Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayashami Masuchaha. Just abandon all kinds of Dharma, or as Srila Prabhupada translates it in Bhagavad Gita as it is, abandon all varieties of religion. And that phrase I've always found very interesting, that God is saying abandon all varieties of religion. Of course, he's not really saying abandon all varieties of Dharma. It's like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Dharma Kaitava Projita Tra. The Dharma Kaitava, the cheating kinds of Dharma, the inferior types of Dharma, that is what is to be rejected. But there is a real Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, that we're supposed to accept. That type of religion, religious principle, that type of Dharma we're supposed to accept. And how do we know what is the real Dharma? Dharmantushakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Dharma is prescribed only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So following the instructions of Lord Krishna, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Dharma. So on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was a situation where Dronacharya was attacking the Pandavas very strongly and was prevailing. And there was some condition that Dronacharya could not be defeated unless his mind got disturbed by hearing some very bad news that would kind of break his concentration in battle. So, Krishna, understanding that, told Yudhisthira, you tell him Ashwatthama, your son, has been killed. And that will, because he's so attached to his son, Ashwatthama, he'll become disturbed and you'll be able to overcome him in the battle. And Yudhisthira, thinking of ordinary Dharma, said, but that would be a lie. You know, Ashwatthama hasn't been killed. No, actually, an elephant named Ashwatthama had been killed by Bhima, but you know, that was in the background. So he was thinking, you know, I've never told a lie in my entire life. You know, I'm Dharma Pratam Varishtam, you know, the best of the followers of the principles of Dharma. So how can I do that? So, you know, he compromised a little bit and said aloud, you know, Ashwatthama has been killed. But under his breath, he said, Ashwatthama, the elephant, you know, has been killed. And Srila Prabhupada says several times that because of that hesitation, he later had to have a vision of hell that was a little disturbing to him later on in his life. So, knowing what is the real Dharma is sometimes a little difficult. You know, how do we understand what we should do? And, you know, Srila Prabhupada explains, you know, an important principle. Because we could think, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hridisanavishto Matyas Matyagyanam Apohanam Cha, I'm in your heart, I'm giving you knowledge. Tesham Satya Yuktanam Vachsam Priti Purvakam Didami Buddha Yogam Tam Yena Mamu Puyanti Te. You know, if Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you perform devotional service with love and devotion, I within your heart will give you the intelligence to come to me. So we could be thinking, okay, I know what I should do. I should do this or that. And it's Krishna within my heart telling me. So let me just do it. Now, if one is actually situated on the platform of pure devotional service, one may be able to take instruction directly from Krishna like that. But Srila Prabhupada pointed out in a lecture he gave in London in 1973, he said we think I'll do something and then concoct and imagine the idea that Krishna is pleased with it. He said, we've got to be able to take direct instruction from Krishna. And then he immediately said, but we're not on that platform at the present moment. So we have to confirm our idea with the spiritual master, with Krishna's representative. We don't concoct, some dharma, some idea of what we should be doing. It's just like Srila Prabhupada. He didn't one day sit by himself and decide, my mission in life will be to go to the West and spread the Krishna consciousness movement in the English language. It didn't happen like that. As a young man, he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his spiritual master, and his spiritual master gave him his mission in life. You will go to the Western world, you will spread Krishna consciousness in the English language. So in one sense, knowing what our dharma or duty is, it can be very simple in one sense and a little more intricate in another sense. We have you know, our principal practices of devotional service, you know, that are part of our dharma, our Sanatana Dharma, our practice of bhakti yoga for coming to the platform of pure love for Krishna. There are basic principles that we all vow to follow, and when we take initiation, you know, we vow to chant our 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra, avoid meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. You know, there are certain principles of devotional service that we all follow. We can all understand that's part of our dharma. And the nectar of devotion, you know, Rupa Goswami says, you know, there in devotional service, there are three kinds of activities. There are the normal regulative principles that are always followed. Then there are emergency activities. And then there are desired activities. But, you know, that last thing becomes the more problematic thing. Because we can all understand the regular practice of devotional service that we're all supposed to engage in. That's pretty clear. Emergency activities, well, we can accept that. If all of a sudden, you know, a pipe burst in the room, and you know, even though you're not the plumber or whatever, you have to take some emergency activity, you know, to deal with the situation. But the desired activity, you know, that becomes a question. Now, it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, for that one who is purely self-realized, there is no duty that's imposed upon one by others. It becomes, one becomes self-illuminated. One understands directly from Krishna what one's duty is. That's a particular level of devotional service. But on our level, we have to take guidance. We may be inspired from within, but we need to have our desire to serve Krishna in some particular way confirmed by the spiritual master and other spiritual authorities. This is one of the purposes of living in a society of devotees. Tandara charana seve bhakti sani vas. And one should serve the acharyas in an association of devotees. That's a general principle of devotional service. It's one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada established a society of devotees, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so that we can serve Krishna in the society of devotees and get some understanding and confirmation of our particular desires to serve Krishna in some particular way. I know myself, I came to the Krishna consciousness movement desiring to serve Krishna by writing. I had some desire like that. But somehow or other, you know, I had to get confirmation of that desire from the society of devotees that I found myself in, our society. And, you know, I remember coming to the Miami temple early in my career in devotional service, and the temple president there asked me, okay, you want to come and join this temple, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to serve Krishna by writing. And he said, that's a nice idea. Srila Prabhupada writes, our acharyas have written, but it has to be done in the mood of service, you know, not self-aggrandizement, which is one of the points that's being mentioned here, that Yudhisthira didn't want to be the king so he could enjoy lots of sense gratification. He did it as a duty on the instruction of Lord Krishna. Actually, he and Arjuna didn't want to fight to get control of the kingdom, but Krishna wanted it, Krishna ordered it, so they did it out of duty. That was their dharma. But in any case, you know, the temple president told me, yes, that's a nice idea, but you know, you have to develop a service mentality. So my recommendation is you take up some service in the temple, and in your spare time, you try to write some articles for Back to Godhead magazine. So, you know, that's what I did. So understanding what is one's dharma or duty, you know, what one's service is to Lord Krishna, that becomes revealed to one who adopts the service mentality towards Krishna's representatives. Like Lord Chaitanya said, Gopi Bharka Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. You know, I am simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. So the nature of our dharma, it's revealed in many ways. You know, what our Sanatana Dharma is, Lord Chaitanya explains, Jivara Sarupahoy Krishnara Nitya Das, we're eternally the servants of Krishna. But exactly what that service is only becomes revealed as we surrender more and more to Krishna's representatives. The initiating spiritual master, the instructing spiritual master, the authorities that, you know, Srila Prabhupada has established in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, then these things become revealed. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Raghupati Prabhu.
Describe and not spend time, you know, in the preliminary understandings. So tying that in with what you're just saying about understanding one's dharma, how one should go about understanding one's dharma, how much time should devotees spend reading Prabhupada's books, and how much time is it okay to spend reading books that were written by other acharyas like that? I know it's very popular outside of ISKCON, and even in Prabhupada's books there are certain instructions where it says he encourages devotees to read books of different acharyas. So what's the proper balance there?
I'll just give my personal practice. What I've done personally is before I read any other books, I read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. And not only all his books, I read all his conversations, I read the transcripts of all his lectures, the transcripts of all his morning walks, and then I've read the books of other acharyas, but trying to see them in the light of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And every day I read Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, in addition to that, you know, I read some other books. I mean, recently I've been reading Bhaktisiddhanta's Brahma Samhita, but I've read dozens and dozens of books of other acharyas, either in translation, but mostly in translations by ISKCON members. Yeah, so that's my personal practice. I could also recommend it. I don't think I can order it, but I could, you know, it's something I did. You know, read all Srila Prabhupada's books first and get a firm foundation in his view of the practice and philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And then, with that firmly in mind, go on to other things. It's not necessary. I think, you know, Srila Prabhupada's books are sufficient in themselves to guide one on the path of Krishna consciousness. But as you point out, you know, he cited these other works, recommended that they be translated. So, you know, the BBT has published some of them. You know, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and other works by previous acharyas. So that's my personal practice. Archita?
Hi, Mahaprabhu. Thank you for a very well-presented class. Just a comment on Brigapati's question, and then I have a question. I mean, we've dealt with this since time immemorial. You gave the answer in your presentation that it's about motivation. Why do we feel the necessity to go back, and where do you stop? Do you stop at Bhaktisiddhanta? Do you stop at Vishwanath Chakravarti? Do you go back to before Lord Chaitanya? You know, what is the motivation? Prabhupada firmly established it. This is Sampradaya. This knowledge is coming down unbroken. So what he's given us is exactly what's been there before. And even when Prabhupada was here, devotees were, when we first went to India, they were so enamored of Loi Bazaar. You could find so many books about so many things. And Prabhupada said, stop. Prabhupada, stop. What are you doing? I'm giving you everything already. It's already here in my books. So, again, we can't order anybody to do anything but become firmly grounded in Prabhupada's books, and you already have everything. And then in the mode of service, if you need a particular topic to be researched for an article or something, fine. But you don't need to just abandon Prabhupada's books and start reading everything out there. You'll just become confused. That was Prabhupada's point. My question was regarding Yudhishthira. If somebody like Yudhishthira, who's never made a mistake his whole life, and just by hesitating to tell a lie, because Ashwatthama is still alive. Ashwatthama is not dead. We know from the Shastra that he's wandering without company somewhere on this planet, and so stated there. So he's not dead. he didn't even get killed at the end of the war. He's not dead. So Yudhishthira hesitated to tell that lie. For that, he had to see a vision of hell. So where is there any hope for anybody else who their whole life has been lying and stealing and misrepresented? Where is there any hope? Why doesn't everybody else have to go to hell if he had to see hell just for telling one lie that was ordered by Krishna?
I looked at everything Srila Prabhupada had to say about that particular incident. And the message that I got from looking at all those things is one should do what Krishna says. And these things that happen to great devotees, whether it's Lord Brahma or Shiva or Yudhishthira or Arjuna, they're lessons for us. I mean, ultimately, they're eternal associates of Krishna. But it seems to be a message for us, you know, to follow Krishna's instructions. Of course, one thing Srila Prabhupada said in the class is Krishna could have done it himself, but Srila Prabhupada said nobody believe him because he's so tricky. Yeah, so he had to put you to steer up. Rabindranath?
Yeah, I mentioned how, you know, one should consult with one's spiritual master if one's not sure what one's to do. And but what if one's in a situation, well, let's say one's speech ambassador is no longer present on the planet. And I understand, you know, a brahmacharya in the temple, they have to strictly, you know, be obedient and follow the instructions of the temple. But it seems like the other ashrams are more independent, like the sannyasis and the householders. So how would they, how do they act if the forest, what are they to do if they think they want to do this type of preaching or that type of preaching?
Well, ultimately, everyone gets the results of their activities. So you could say if someone, it's hard to imagine somebody that considers themselves to be a member in good standing of ISKCON not being, you know, I mean, being totally, completely independent beyond all correction and advice and instruction. It may be that there are some, but then ultimately it'll be between them and Krishna then. And everyone has to accept the results of their activities. That's the example of Yudhisthira showed, even. Naikatma?
Thank you. Just to add on to what you've been saying, how important it is, or ultimately we have to surrender and accept what Krishna wants and do his bidding. But just to add on to that, it's an indicator. There's also there a very important point in that the practice of Krishna consciousness is like a razor's edge. Just a little bit of inattention can cause the greatest harm. So in addition to making Krishna his desire, our desire, in execution of Krishna consciousness, a person should be very, very attentive and understand that even a little inattention could create a major, major problem in one's life.
Very good point. Oh, sorry. Didn't see you.
Thanks very much for a wonderful class. Just one little point that I want to tack on to, I think it was Archita's point. And that is very often as a result of the influence of our false ego and the belief that we are somehow, after studying for 5 years or 10 years, that we are somehow advanced because we give classes, we go out on Harinams, we go to the universities. And in that false understanding, which may not at all be true, the false ego may still be very high. And the result is, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned many times, he says, you boys and girls, he says, you're not afraid of Maya enough. He says, you're too overconfident. You don't understand her power and how she can completely twist you in such a way as to make you think that what you're doing is right, but actually you're doing something very wrong. So try to stay on the safe side. And in the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada, in that whole Rasalila area, Srila Prabhupada takes many pages to protect us. He talks about how we should not do this, and how we should not think this, and how we should not engage in parakrita ras, and all of these things, simply because we read about it, and we think that because we read about it, and we see certain persons in the books doing these things, that we necessarily should jump into that. But Prabhupada made very clear that unless there is a very advanced acharya, take what you've been given by the advanced acharya and stay secure and stay settled and stay fixed and focused, rather than going to, as they say, jumping over, and you're taking a big risk and you may actually lose your spiritual life, as so many did do just that. We have so many examples of devotees who are high on the scale in so-called advancement, but they weren't very advanced at all. They still had strong material desires. So, therefore, it is very good to take a timid, hesitant, watchful attitude in dealing with these very sensitive, dangerous, risky activities. Now, there's one devotee, I won't mention names, but he comes over to me sometimes while I'm doing my japa on the street, and he says, have you read this particular book? Happened to be something by Krishna Das Kaviraj. It's very for very advanced souls, actually. And I said, no, I haven't. He says, you don't know what you're missing. He has no program. He has no morning program. He has no evening program. He has no program. He has his own program, which is no advancement, which is go nowhere, and associates with persons who have haven't even taken the first step in Krishna consciousness. So what I'm trying to bring out is that, and this is a person who is very confident that what he is doing is right, and he believes that he is he's a gopa, okay? So he can afford to take these chances. So this type of madness, that's what it is, nothing but madness, thinking that I'm something that I'm really not, but I can't think that I'm not because...
Thank you. Sri Prabhupada ki jai.